Time to take a look around the NFL, and helping us to do that is Peter King from Sports Illustrated. Peter, welcome to the show.
Vic, as always, it's great to be on with the master of the National Football League.
That's very nice. Well, Peter, tonight will be, I don't know if it's a masterpiece, but it'll be an interesting game, to say the least, Jets and Broncos. And I guess the first storyline, the obvious storyline, is Tim Tebow. Where do you come down on the idea of this guy and how he's managing to have success when everything tells you that he shouldn't be as a quarterback?
Well, Vic, I'll just tell you where I think that is. You know, as any person who follows the game should come down on Tim Tebow, it's basically this. He was handed the job when the Denver Broncos were 1-4 in their bye week. And when he got handed the job, John Fox and Mike McCoy, the offensive coordinator, basically said, okay, we're going to give Tim Tebow a chance to run the regular offense with a few little nips and tucks that Kyle Orton was running.
Right.
They tried it against Miami and pulled the game out of their rear ends at the very end of the game, even though Tebow did not play well. They tried it against Detroit. He threw 39 passes, and he was a sitting duck. He got killed. He got sacked. He got clobbered. And so John Fox and Mike McCoy did what any good football coaches would do. They said, you know, we don't want to tailor our team, or we don't want to tailor our players to an offense. Mm-hmm. What we want to do is we want to tailor our offense to the players that we have. And so what they did was they said, what we're going to do is make this offense Tim Tebow friendly.
Mm-hmm.
And they basically ran what I called the Denver over the last 2 weeks.
Right.
And, you know, I talked to Fox this week, and one of the things he said is, look, all I want to do as a football coach is try to win games with the players that I have. Does John Fox love playing this way? I don't think so.
Right.
Does Mike McCoy love calling a game with 8 passes? I don't think so. But if you look at the way they are right now, Vic, you're the New York Jets. You've got to travel across the country 1,700 miles on a short week, and you have to prepare for a brand-new offense that you are not used to preparing for.
Right.
And, you know, that's why this game tonight, in my opinion, is a very, very interesting game. It's a game where you have a master of defense preparing to play an offensive scheme that nobody has played in the NFL in 40 or 50 years.
Right.
And so I just think it's going to be tremendously entertaining, even if only to watch it as a chess match.
How do we look at the New York Jets after their game, first of all, against the Patriots, and that sense that they were really put in their place about as emphatically as they could be? And it looked like Rex Ryan, who sometimes even in defeat doesn't seem to carry himself as anything other than the guy who's always winning, but that wasn't the case after that game.
You know, after a while, Vic, you have to look at quarterback of this team, Mark Sanchez, and you have to say, really, more than anything else, that for Mark Sanchez to win in the NFL long term, in my opinion, he's got to be a little bit more accurate. And, you know, again, I don't think it's impossible to win long term if you complete 56-57%. But in this day and age in the NFL, it becomes very difficult to win if you're not completing, you know, 60%, you know, and not moving the chains, particularly when you have a pedestrian running game.
Hmm.
What worries me about the Jets tonight, and the more I talk about it, the more I say, well, why did I pick the New York Jets? Because I did.
Mm-hmm.
I think I just trust their defense to snuff out Tebow better than other defenses the last 2 weeks have. Because, I mean, the Jets, not even averaging 4 yards a carry, and their best running back, LaDainian Tomlinson, stayed home when the Jets went to Denver. So I think this is going to be a difficult game for the Jets, but I think somehow, some way, Ryan and Mike Pettine, the defensive coordinator, figure out a way to hold the Denver offense down.
When we look at the rest of the AFC West, that division that the Broncos are certainly trying to make some noise in and obviously are in the hunt for it, but I look at the Oakland Raiders, Peter, and it seems like they've each week are righting their ship more and more with Carson Palmer, and the thought that Darren McFadden, once he's back healthy, they look like just a very formidable football team that's going to continue to improve down the last part of the season.
You know, it's a bad division, and right now, I probably would have said 2 weeks ago or even a week ago at this time, I still like San Diego to win. And I might have said 2 weeks ago I like Kansas City to win, but I say this week I like Oakland to win. I mean, the ironic part of this is, imagine if Denver wins impressively tonight. Imagine if Oakland goes to Minnesota and they lay an egg.
Right.
Okay, the Raiders lay an egg, which I don't think is going to happen. But imagine if those things happen. I mean, is it possible that 4 weeks in a row, a sane person could look at a division and like a different team in each of those 4 weeks?
Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you this. If Denver stomps the Jets, I'm going to fall in love with the Broncos. I don't care if they can't throw, you know.
Right.
It's a tempting team, and it's a fun team, especially with Von Miller and Elvis Dumervil getting after the quarterback. I mean, that's been fun to watch. But I think the reason why Oakland is better than any of us thought right now is because we saw what happened when Carson Palmer, you know, who obviously is feeling good now and feeling in sync with the offense, he still can throw the ball downfield and throw it well. And so that's my whole thing about this team right now. I think that it's the best overall team in this division right now, but wait 10 minutes, that might change.
Peter King from Sports Illustrated joining us on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Peter, are Lovie Smith's Chicago Bears getting enough Lovie love?
Well, you know, it's interesting. A team wins four in a row, and you tend to forget all their flaws. But probably their best offensive lineman this week went down, and I think, you know, and they've lost him for the year, and Chris Williams, and I keep thinking that at some point their offensive line is going to either get Jay Cutler hurt, or something bad is going to happen. I don't know. Is it going to lose them a game down the stretch? I just don't know. But the one thing I do know about this team is that their defense is going to keep them in every game. That's the one thing that you can trust is going to happen with this team. And I talked to Urlacher this week, and one of the things that he talked about was that the really good thing that the coaching staff did this year for this team is they wouldn't accept failure early. And instead of basically making excuses for all the guys, they started replacing people. They did it with Chris Harris, a guy who was a borderline Pro Bowl safety a year ago. And they did it with a lot of different players with playing time and everything. And I think that what Lovie Smith has done this year is he's made everybody on that team accountable. And they have, I think the players on that team have really gained a lot of respect for Lovie by doing that.
In that same division, the NFC North, have the Lions gone back down to earth? I mean, are we seeing now more of the team that kind of has been what the Lions are, as opposed to the one that was getting all the talk of surprise team and so forth?
Vic, I think the problem with the Lions is that they've totally lost their running game, and everybody out there knows it. They have not been able to run the ball well, and because they haven't been able to do so, They've had to rely on Matthew Stafford. Matthew Stafford last week threw 4 interceptions against the Bears. It was his worst game by far of the year. And I think the Lions have been exposed. They've lost 3 out of 4. They have not played well consistently on offense. And that's been for a while, too. And, you know, it's funny. I look at their offense right now, and I go back to the day I was at training camp this year, either late July or maybe August 1st, when Mikel LeShore, running back they picked from Illinois in the 2nd round, when he was lost for the year with an Achilles injury. And I remember Jim Schwartz basically putting on the stiff upper lip and saying, hey, we'll be okay. But now the job at best has concussion problems. And they're down to their 3rd and 4th and 5th option in the running game. That's really been a crippling blow for the Lions.
And when we look at the NFC and a team that's been exposed from long ago, the Philadelphia Eagles, we know defensively what their struggles have been, but now the question becomes, and this was inevitable, right, Peter, that Michael Vick's health would be just the ongoing narrative for this team, but it just seems to underscore the overall issue and problem of either depending on him and depending on all the investment they made in this offseason to be great, and it's not happening. What's the state of this team? What do you think the future is with Andy Reid?
You know, the Andy Reid question is going to hang over this team until Jeff Lurie says with certainty that he's going to be back next year. That may come during the year. It may come afterwards. I would be surprised if he didn't come back because of his track record of winning, I think it's 118 games, and, you know, coming into this year. I mean, basically averaging 10 wins a game, made the playoffs 9 of his 11 previous years. But anyway, I think one thing, you know, I was talking to a club president today, this morning, and one of the things that he said to me was, you know, the one thing that the lockout has done is it's created, we know the lockout has had a big factor. We just don't know what it is. I mean, why has San Francisco been so good? Why has Cincinnati been so good, even though they've changed quarterbacks and or coaches, and offensive coordinators, things like that? I mean, and yet the Philadelphia Eagles, they've got the same head coach. Now, they made a change on defense, and they got better talent-wise. And I think one of the things that the Eagles have shown us this year is the importance of chemistry, the importance of guys coming in the offseason, buying into a program. I mean, a couple of weeks ago, Juan Castillo, the new defensive coordinator, was telling me that he decided late in training camp when they really weren't playing well, weren't meshing, he decided that what he needed to do was to get everybody one day at a time, every guy in his defense would stand up and introduce himself to the team and talk to him because he said, we just didn't know each other.
Wow.
And I was starting to think about that, Vic, and it's interesting. The 49ers, they got a new coaching staff and a new coordinator, but they really didn't change the scheme, and all the players basically are the same.
Right.
So maybe a team like San Francisco, we shouldn't be looking at them with, hey, these guys don't know each other. Basically, the vast majority of that team didn't change, you know, with Jim Harbaugh in it. So anyway, it's an odd way to look at it, but I think the Eagles just haven't meshed. They aren't, you know, the proverbial all for one, one for all. A lot of these guys still really are getting to know who each other are.
Peter, great stuff as always. I truly appreciate your time.
Hey, my pleasure, Vic. Have a great week, huh?
Okay, you too. That is Peter King of Sports Illustrated. Much more coming up on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford and brought to you by Madden NFL 12 in stores now. EA Sports, it's in the game.